let's switch gears a little bit to Ron Wotus.
Oh, the professor? Oh, God, the professor's all right. He's even looks like an even professor now. Since you taught him how to work the TV, the radio and stuff like that, well, he's big in that now.
How does he sound on the radio as far as being sort of a teacher, so to speak?
He speaks well. Ron's been around for a long time. I remember him with Pittsburgh, and I told him, you just had a cup of coffee in the big leagues. He says, I never had a cup of coffee in the big leagues. Yeah, he says, I was a good hitter. Yeah, they called you up with those September call-ups. But just teasing with him, you know what I mean?
Well, he sets the defense, and he sort of looks like the tireless worker, so to speak.
Oh, he walks around here with papers in his hand. I said, well, you look like a professor with all the papers. You know, he gives these guys where to play and stuff like that, but that's part of the ball game. So he loves what he does, and he'll always do what he has to do. That's the way Ron is, good worker.
Relating to young and old players, it's unique that someone can do that today.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, young ball players, you know, they're not quite like the old timers. You know, the old timers used to come in, drink coffee, and go out and play a ball game 20 hours, pitch 9 innings, and, that's what they used to do. But now it's all young kids, and they don't want to ruin their arms, I guess. So Ron does a real good job.
And he's the third base coach. Now, you've seen a bunch of third base coaches. What do you see him over there in third?
I call him the traffic cop at third. I said, you got to be hold up, run down the line like Flannery used to. Hold up, get back. He stays in that little box there.
I love it. Murph, you're one of the best. Thank you so much for taking the time.
All right, Marty. Always a pleasure to talk to you. You're one of the best guys around. Thank you.
All right, that's Mike Murphy, boy, Hall of Famer.
How do you like that?
I love Murph. Shoot, the clubhouse is named after him. I just walked in this morning, and as I said, it's the last game of the year, and I'm going to miss everybody, the players, the coaching staff, and we really are family, and then you come to the last one. So right away, I walk in the clubhouse today, and who's there? The great Mike Murphy, and he didn't have the Sinatra on yet. I was a little disappointed. He said, it's coming. He was folding towels. He was busy folding towels, and he puts the music on, and he's an icon. And, we love him in the coaching staff. He'll come in with us and have a glass of wine with us after the game and shoot the hay. And that's what people love about this game, being a coach or an ex-player, being around the guys. And I'm gonna miss everybody this year when this is all done.
It's funny. He told me his story. Now, look, he's been part of this since 1958. He was a bat boy for the Seals.
Yeah.
Going back. So he's seen the whole thing, the whole San Francisco Giant history. So here you are in Kansas City, and Bumgarner's on the mound. It's the eighth inning and coming up to the ninth. And Murph is in the dugout, and he goes up to Bochy, says, well, you're going to pitch Bumgarner in the ninth? And yep. Bochy says to him, what, are you managing too now?
Yeah.
And it was one of those moments, and Murph loved it. And, but it was maybe relieved some tension, whatever.
Yeah, true story. I was there.
He
told me the story several times. As a matter of fact, Murph and I took a cab into the ballpark in Game 7. I got a little short video clip with the great Mike Murphy. Murph and I heading to Game 7 of the World Series.
Wow.
Really, really neat. And I have a lot of good pictures of him over the years, and a good friend. And you think back to everything that he's seen, and I love hearing his stories, but he's done it all, seen it all. Yeah. And one of his famous lines, why everybody loves him so much, is, I don't bother nobody. He does his job, and my God, what an icon Mike Murphy is. And we're so lucky to have him here, and all these guys love having him around.
I've known his wife, Carol, going back to 1972. When I first came to California as a criminal lawyer, she was a bailiff in the courtroom.
Really?
Yeah, I've known her 47 years, Carol.
Wow, yeah, she's great as well. We used to see her a lot more. She doesn't come out as much to the games, just like my Lori doesn't, so I understand that. Carol's been great over the years, and I hope she's doing well today as well.
All right, as the professor is here, it is Sunday morning, our last game of the season, our last Sunday show of the season, so we'll take a little bit more time talking just about life in baseball. Carmen, you have a question for Will this morning?
Sure. I was thinking, I see a lot of guys come around and high-five you. What's your most memorable high-five you've ever had?
Oh, boy. Well, we haven't won a World Series with one. There's been a couple. And, the hardest thing is, after the guys hit a couple home runs, you know, I'm just shaking her hands, and I say to myself, you know, I'll go to my, I have to have come up with something, right? You see everybody else handing off the football, and not that that's my style, but you get tired of just shaking her hand. And, you know, so I'll have to tell you, probably right to this point, it's going to sound silly, but I was so happy for Jalen Davis.
Oh,
to hit
yeah.
the home run, and it was a game. It was a game winner. You know, he hasn't got the hits that he's wanted to start, and I've been pulling for this kid so much to have something good happen to him. And when he hit that home run, I was probably as excited as I've been for a home run. I don't know if you saw the video, but I was jumping up and down. And so I'd say at this point, I'm going to give it to him. It's so fresh in my memory. It just happened this week.
Do you think it has anything to do with the 16 innings that happened just the day before?
You know, that probably adds to it. That adds to it, you know. Thank goodness we ended that one in 9.
All right, beautiful. All right, Raf, you know, you've spoken with Raf, of
sure.
course, over the headset. Raf, you're on this morning. You could ask Wo a question, Raf.
Go nice. Ahead. Well, I want to say, Wo, this is the first class I've had perfect attendance to. You know, I wasn't tardy. I've never been sick. So it's been a pleasure to have you every Sunday home game.
The Raf, well, thank you for that. You know, we don't tolerate, you know, days off or yeah. being late either, so I'm glad you stayed out of detention.
Well, I wanted to say, you know, the season's such a grind. I mean, even on off days, I'm sure you're doing some work. How long does it take you to decompress from a long season?
Yeah, it's... It doesn't take all that long. You know, it depends on the year. You know, initially, you know, it's such a grind. You're relieved. You have some time off. And then after a few days, you know, your body starts to shut down because it knows it can relax. And you usually get a cold or a little little sickness. But it only takes, you know, a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks. But you really look forward to being able to live life, all the things, you know, your family you've neglected, all the things you've neglected because you just don't have time for it during the season. You know, I go back east to see my mom and take care of the stuff around the house and get to have a normal, you know, dinner and time with your family at home. And that's what it's really all about. So, you know, after a couple weeks, you're back into the mood and the rest is well needed. And you're on your routine in the winter.
Great. No, we love having you every Sunday home game. So thanks so much. I'll be here next season. So
all right, Raf, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
I graduated, Raf.
Yeah.
You're still in college.
I'll still come back. I'll be a teacher's aide.
All right, Allie, you got one for Will.
And then just you know going back to Bruce Bochy and you've been working with him for so long. What were your first impressions of him when you first met Bruce Bochy?
Well, I first met him, you know, when I was playing. With the Pirates, and he was catching, and I didn't, you know, meet him, but as a catcher, and the minute you see Boach, you don't forget him, right? And then I ran across him again, I think it was 9 years later, when I was managing the San Jose Giants, and he was managing in High Desert. So we locked horns down there, and then all those years in San Diego. So I knew who he was for a long, long time, known of Bruce Boach, and mostly known of him for managing when he was managing the Padres, and we knew when we played the Padres, we were going to be in for a battle because they were very aggressive. You know, Boach was never scared to send a runner or make a move in the game. He'd fire his bullets. You know, I always saw that about him, like kind of like Bobby Cox. You know, Bobby Cox was an aggressive manager. If it was time to steal, he'd steal a base. He was always ready to make a move, and I always remembered that about Boach when he was in San Diego. And then, of course, when we talked on the phone, when Sabes wanted to keep me on staff, he put me in touch with Boach, and we had a nice conversation on the phone. And that was the beginning of this 13-year relationship. And look where we are, 3 World Series later. So it's been a great run. I've enjoyed it. And I'm gonna miss Boach around and our time that we've had together.
Yeah, I was just wondering. It has been fun watching you guys coach together, and also you just being out here with us every Sunday. It's just a really fun.
Well, thank
way
you, Allie.
Yeah, very good, boy. This is it. This you know, there's more ahead. Believe me, you got more ahead here. We hope good things are coming for you over the winter here as well. One last one. The guy who maybe you made the most famous. And that's the shortstop, Brandon Crawford. Let's hear from Craw.
All
Hi, Marty Lurie here at Brandon Crawford. I'm going to ask you for your reaction to Ron Wotus. I think that's okay. What I like to do first.
Okay. Well, he's been my infield coach for the whole time I've been in the big league, so gotten to know Woe pretty well. And like you just said before we got on here, you might know him better than any other player on the team. So just the amount of time I've been around him and worked with him.
When did you meet him, and what was your impression of first meeting him? What did he look like and feel like?
I don't know if I remember our first meeting. It was probably in spring training in 09. I had gotten called up for a couple spring training games, and I'm pretty sure I met the whole coaching staff at some point when I was up there for a few games. But so I'm sure I met him then. But I definitely remember working with him in the next spring training, which was my first big league camp. And just doing like some of the early work drills and how seriously he took those things. And that's like the most fundamental of fundamental drills that we would do. He's always into those, and I still use those going into spring training every year.
Well, you helped, but he did make you a Gold Glover.
He did. I think I was a pretty good fielder coming up, but he definitely helped buff out some of the edges. It kind of fine-tuned me once I came up. And I was maybe a little over-aggressive, I think, when I first came up, and would try to be too quick with everything, and ended up making a lot of errors, actually, the first couple months when I was up in 2012, anyway, to start that season. And we worked on some things and talked about some things on slowing the game down and, still trying to make great plays, but maybe not be in such a hurry. And I think that's definitely helped me over the years. And I think the stat was I made 12 errors the first 2 months and then only 6 the next 4 months. So it was definitely helpful.
So what kind of a teacher is he? And you do a lot of commercials about teaching and things like that. What is he like as a teacher?
He's great. I mean, he is easy to work with. He understands when you've kind of grasped an idea and knows to kind of move on to maybe another thing. And I know for me that was trying to be too quick early on, like we talked about. And then, I think once he kind of realized that I kind of had that under control, then, he moved on to more positioning stuff and kind of fine-tuning some other things.
Well, you watch Ron Wotus prepare for a game with the tape and the video, and look, you're shifting all over the place. There's something to that madness that goes on in baseball today that he's mastered.
That's definitely something that we should mention, is that he's never out prepared or out coached. He puts a lot of work into looking at the opposing hitters and where they've been hitting the ball, not only for the year by looking at the spray charts, but looking at the swings and what they've done recently with certain pitches and certain types of pitchers. So, he puts a lot of work into that, and it helps prepare me going into the games.
Yeah, the other thing I notice about both of you, he gives you a lot of play, a lot of confidence to do things that maybe are not on the chart, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, he was a little stricter probably with it my first couple years, but I think he kind of saw the playmaking ability and like kind of the that I would learn the hitters and kind of see stuff for myself. And we would talk about stuff, but we still do. Certain things I see with hitters and where I think I should be maybe compared to what the spray charts say or what the analytics say and stuff like that. Just see stuff that I see on the field. And for years now, he's kind of trusted me with that. He gives me the kind of what he thinks I should do, and then lets me kind of play off of that.
I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you.
Now that's Craw.
Well, he good players make good coaches. You played clips of three guys here that you think about this organization. And these are all homegrown players with the Giants, and they're the reason we won 3 World Series. And it's nice to have talented players, and that's the bottom line. They can make adjustments, they're easy to coach, and that's what you're looking for, and that's why we won with these guys. And he's going to go down as one of the all-time best shortstops in the Giant organization. I don't know where his numbers stack up, but he can do everything you want for a shortstop. And here we got, speaking of shortstops, we got umpires in the room now.
What about this guy? You got to boo him? Come on, we got to say boo.
No, I can't boo Eddie. But Eddie was always good to me. Maybe when I was younger, he gave me a couple of dirty looks.
That was my game face.
Yeah, and it's legendary. He threw out one of our owners point in time.
Right.
Yeah,
was it Rob Dean?
No, it was Harmon. Harmon Burns. Yeah, and because Rob Dean was yelling at me, and I went to the box and figured out who was it. They were the owners. I said, if you want to sit here, you got to have some class. And you know what? It was a great moment because from then on, Sue and Harmon, I became good friends with them. It was great. So thanks, Rob.
All right, Eddie Montague, our former National League umpire. Eddie, before we played a little bit of yesterday, you talking about Bochy, and he had a special place for you. You really respected him.
Yeah, I left the pitcher upstairs. I brought a picture of Bochy behind the plate. I was at first base. Lee Weir was working home plate, and Pete Rose broke Ty Cobb's record. But yeah, I always liked Bochy. I mean, I knew Bochy. I mean, sometimes some of the young umpires would come up and, you know, he's got that game face on all the time. I said, yeah, he's a good guy down deep. He's a big teddy bear is what he is. You know, so always had a lot of respect for Bochy and, you know, like Ronnie, a great student of the game. And, you know, we're losing some of those guys.
Does Ronnie call you enough to ask you about plays?
Ronnie calls me every now and then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You have to keep up with it. Yeah.
What was Eddie like as an umpire? Now, look, you're talking about teddy bears. This is the nicest man I've ever met in my life. I love doing shows with him. But you see pictures of him, whoa, as an umpire, you wouldn't want to mess around with the guy.
No, that's true. I mean, look, I have a different perspective now. He's not on the field, and he's been a good friend and helped me, you know, learn some of the rules and all that type of stuff. And they show me a picture of here of an argument right then and there. Was that you?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I barely recognized you. How many years ago was that?
Well, just last year.
Last year. But, you know, the thing about it is
amazing.
Is you have a lot of respect for the good ones. And you come in as a young coach, and he's been in the league a long time, and instantly you don't mess around with the veteran umpires because you have that respect. And then over years you get to know him, and your relationship builds or goes the other way from there. And he's been a good umpire. You know, there's some umpires, you're always making the wrong call, and your relationship goes in a different direction. So he's always been great.
Thanks, Ronnie.
All right, Eddie, thank you so much.
All right, we're heading over to church here.
All right, have a good day. Martian, nice to see you as well. Well, that kind of does it for our final Sunday with the professor and with Carmen, Allie, you, me, Raph. It's been quite a year, and I look at it as a very positive year, and I think there's just so much ahead for you. For good things ahead. So I'm glad to get the pupils on to give people a perspective of what you mean to the organization and how hard you work here. And for both of us, I look forward to spring training, February 23rd. It's a Sunday, so you and I will open it up on Sunday, February 23rd in Scottsdale.
I'm looking forward to it, and, you know, thank you. It's the end of the year, but, you know, you mentioned those players in the organization, and I'm so grateful to Brian Sabian, you know, my first manager, Dusty Baker, and all the people that have touched me and been behind me in this organization over the years, and the ownership, everybody, all the great relationships. So this is a special place, and yeah. Who's ever here in San Francisco, definitely this is the place to be. That's well documented, and I've enjoyed being with you guys and look forward to doing it again next year. And keep up the good work.
Yeah,
thank you.
Say San Francisco is the place to be, but if you're not in San Francisco, the other place to be is River Islands.
River Islands. Exactly. Yeah. No, no question. Come it's on. not far away.
That's correct.
You know, I'm going to make a trip. I'm going to make a trip up there. I think we need to go out and have some lunch and play some bocce ball because we haven't done that together. And you should bring Carmen and Allie.
Yay.
And maybe it'll be two against two. And if Mike wants to fly in from Hawaii, he's welcome. But they don't play bocce ball in Hawaii, though, do they, Mike?
No,
they don't. I played in Miami Beach and Flamingo Park. We used to play bocce ball. I've done it before. But, yeah, River Islands, and they've sponsored us, and Woe and I have worked with them all year long, Colleen Edwards and everyone over there, Susan. It's a great place, and real estate, and you know Lori's in the business. It's not easy in the Bay Area, but River Islands is there. They've got something for everybody.
It's a great option, as you said. You know, it's a great option. It's still close to the Bay Area, and they have everything over there that you're looking for in a community. So yeah. It continues to grow, and I'm looking forward to going out here as soon as the season's over.
All right, riverislands.com. Well, have a great day, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you, Marty. We'll see you down the road shortly.
All right. More coming up on this Sunday morning. KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.